our methodology is probably a little bit different than the average person who comes to us. So Joey and I are really into business. And so we want our hands involved in the deals, meaning that we want to be a part either in the strategic marketing, management, insight. We want to be able to add value to every deal, kind of like a lot of venture capital companies do, right? They want to bring some strategic element to the business model to enhance its value.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Joey Murray and Russ Morgan are coming out with a new book this year. It's called Wealth Without Wall Street. It's Three Steps to Freedom Through Passive Income. They're based in Birmingham, Alabama, so it's great to have some fellow Southerners here on the show. Maybe at least we can all sound alike for once. And yeah, guys, hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Sam, thanks for having us. Yeah, we sometimes get called the slow talkers, but I know for you, we'll be in good company, right?
That's right. Yeah, on occasion, I'm like, okay, speed it up, Skippy. Like, you're talking really slowly. So no, it's all good, man. Hey, so there's three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show, and maybe one of you guys can kind of take this for the team, but it is, where did you guys start? Where are you now? And how did you get there? And you got to answer it in 90 seconds or less.
So Russ and I started as great friends at church. I was in the mortgage business. He was a traditional Wall Street advisor. And as he started to refer me business, I started to learn more what he was teaching his clients. And it was exactly what I had been looking for. And so we started implementing some steps personally for me that created so much more freedom with my time and for my family's future that I got so excited. I said, I got to join you in this. By the way, you suck at getting the word out, so I'm going to help you get the word out. And we joined forces in 2014. Wow. And launched Wealth Without Wall Street as a brand in 2016. And since then, we've been showing people those same three steps to get people to financial freedom through passive income. And now we're nationwide and helping people along that path.
That is fantastic. I mean, that's an audacious goal. Like, what were some things you set out in the beginning, that said, hey, here's how I'm going to find my ideal client, or even here's maybe not even client, but here's how I'm going to find the ideal person I want to help.
Well, yes. Here's the thing is that we are dumb Southerners, right? Like, we make the mold when it comes to this. We actually created a podcast started in 2017, and it was literally to have a weekly conversation with our clients. Like, we were having deal flow come across our desk, and we were traditional in our methodology that most of our clients live locally. Maybe some had moved away, and the interaction was, just maybe, front and center there in the office, or maybe we'd jump on a Zoom call from time to time. And we realized that was not a scalable method to share the ideas that were coming across, the way that we were seeing people have success, and we would hear people have challenges. We knew other people were facing the same challenges. So we decided, hey, let's create a podcast. And that's because we had this young little marketing guy on our team. And he said, you guys need to do a podcast. And Joey looked it up on Google. And we said, okay, let's do that. And we started out. And the next thing you know, we started reaching people across the country that were calling us saying, hey, I heard you guys talking about how you were implementing systems to break free, of this concept of retirement at 65, and how I can actually control my cash flow, how I can invest in deals that I never even thought was available to me and where I was in my level. And, here we sit, 2022, and we don't have an office anymore, brick and mortar. 100% of our team is virtual. We've got team members all over the country, and we have now got to a point where, like, we look back and go, how did that happen? But it really was just one step, just trying to help the next person do the next right thing. And just things started laying out in front of us.
How are you guys finding opportunity? I mean, because you're not active operators, right?
That's right.
Right. You guys are going out to passive investors, educating them on how to invest in, I'm assuming, mostly real estate, but you probably have some other things in there too, I would assume.
What we found, Sam, is, again, we cannot underemphasize how much we just have kind of accidentally followed these steps and then, like, figured out through doing that that there was actually some genius in all of this, and then said, oh, by the way, why don't you just do step one, step two, step three, like we did, and you can have the same results. But to answer your question, we started to interview people in 2017, as Russ mentioned, about all these various different passive income strategies. And we started leading from the front, which you can listen to our show every single month. We do an update of our personal private passive income results so that you hear that we're doing those things, that we're just not just interviewing somebody and then just saying, hey, that was a great show. We were like, okay, we got to do something. We got to start doing these things, implementing them, and then sharing the results. And people have been able from there, like that's how we figured it out. We identified the specialists and we started doing it. And then that led the way to other people being able to use those same services.
That's fantastic. What are you guys investing in now? Or maybe ask that a different way. How are you guys finding the operators that you want to work with? Like, what's that look like? Because that's got to be a continuously evolving process.
Yeah. So for what we do, our methodology is probably a little bit different than the average person who comes to us. So Joey and I are really into business. And so we want our hands involved in the deals, meaning that we want to be a part either in the strategic marketing, management, insight. We want to be able to add value to every deal, kind of like a lot of venture capital companies do, right? They want to bring some strategic element to the business model to enhance its value. So if we're going to get involved in anything, that's typically what we do. Now, we have a few truly passive things that there's an operator already in force and we just invest money. But for instance, one of the things that Joey and I did, we set out kind of like with our three-step process. First, what is the goal? What is it that we really want? We want to make sure that we can have more time freedom. So we want to make sure that we don't have to trade more active time for more active time. And right. So that was kind of our first step for us. What does that look like for us? Then we kind of looked at our second step, which is defining our path. We call it going through the first step in that is having your investor DNA, knowing who you are in advance so that you can add the greatest value to what you're going to do. And that's where then we started taking all these interviews and saying, okay, how can we, you know, take this concept, and I'll just use, you know, we have several, but, you know, land flipping. I don't know if you've ever interviewed Mark Podolsky or heard their team, the Land Geek Community or the Art of Passive Income podcast. We interviewed them several years back, probably 3 or 4 years back, and we heard that concept. We said, this is excellent. We love to do it, but yet we're not going to do it. So how can we implement a business model where we can put an operator in that place and we can help fund it and then add creativity along the way? And that's what we were able to do over the last 2 years. We've built, I don't know, $17,000 a month and note income off our land flipping business. And Joey and I are completely hands off, but we add value on a regular basis to the business. The same thing, we interviewed so many different people across the short-term rental space. You know, that's a hot conversation with the shared economy that we have. Airbnb, VRBO, booking.com, it's everywhere, right? Everybody's wanting to start into this business. And as we started interviewing people, we thought, this is a model that we need to get in on, right? We need to use this, especially where real estate prices have been a little bit high. Maybe it's a better chance for us to get in this model from an arbitrage standpoint where we don't even actually own the majority of the units. So we have over 25 units here in the Birmingham area. We don't operate those personally. We put a business owner into the position of that. We have weekly meetings with him to help him strategically think through the business, but it is running without us. And we produce anywhere between $10,000 a month to the summer months, probably $35,000 a month passive income to us after all things have been paid out of that business. So for us, we think about it from a business owner's perspective. We want to own the business because at the end of the day, I want to be able to sell the business if we decide that it isn't a good fit for us in the future.
And just to add to that, Sam, just the key element that Russ kind of went just slightly over is so many people ask us, what are you investing in? And the key that I want to, like, if you're listening to this, the investor is so much more important than the investment. And I can't, like, we created an assessment just to make this very clear, the investor DNA, because just because Russ and I really like to be hands-on and influence the outcome of a business, there may be like a vast majority of people that don't like that, right? They just want to be hands-off. They just want to do syndications. They just want to do turnkey, you know, rentals, long-term rentals. And that's perfect for them. You need to know who you are, not just get fired up about actual rate of return or those things can be misleading because they may not be the thing that gets you to your goal the fastest because you just kind of constantly are at friction with the actual investment. So I just wanted to, you know, give more insight. We didn't know that to begin with. We learned that the hard way. And so hopefully we've created a step to make it faster for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And so I think it's intriguing and I want to spend a few minutes here just kind of talking about this. You guys find a niche. You say, okay, I like land flipping, right? Or I like investing in land. Instead of going and finding an operator, which we see a lot of, you guys say, let's build a business around that, right? So you turn around, bring in the right key people, actually bring them on. Do you bring them on as partners in the deal? Do you bring in them as managers or what's been your success Because I mean, that's building, that's just building, you know, business after business after business. That's really intriguing.
You know, years ago, there was a show on TV, Marcus Simonis, called The Prophet. I don't know if you ever watched that, but it was one of my favorite shows, right? And one of the things he would do is come into a business that was operating, that already existed, right? He wasn't creating businesses from scratch. He was finding successful business models that just needed either improvement, that he could come in and add his strategic insight and maybe even connections to, right? But one of the things I always remember that he would do is he would find who's the key person in this business. Like, who's the person that makes this deal run, and make sure that they have equity in the deal, right? That they are taken care of, because that person is going to work twice as hard for the business when they have that as compared to if they're just getting a salary. And so that's the way we've tried to operate. We've tried to give the key person in the deal skin in the game, so that way that they're building something for themselves too. Joey and I see this as in a really abundant world. Like, we're not going to invent anything that didn't exist before, but we do try to think of ways to do businesses. I remember, I don't know if you've interviewed Jay Massey. He's got a great podcast called The Cashflow Diary. And he was sharing with us how he had built this short-term rental enterprise. And he was like, man, telling us all this stuff. So Joey and I finally, after going through many interviews, many different things, said, hey, we reached back out to Jay, said, hey, we want to do your course. We want to learn the short-term rental business. The first question he said to us, Sam, dude, there's no way. We're like, what are you talking about? He's like, there's no way you have the time to run this business. Like, with all the things you guys have going, you can't dedicate the time. We're like, oh, we know that. Like, we don't want to go through it personally. We want to understand what it is and then find the right type of person. And because we've done a lot of different training in concept called Culture Index. Are you familiar with Culture Index? Mm-hmm. So Culture Index, for those who are not familiar with that, you may have heard of like the DISC profile or Colby or Myers-Briggs. It does an assessment to kind of the traits and the way that people see the world and how they interact in a job. Well, we've had a lot of training in that. So we kind of learned who would be the best operator. And then we went out and found the person who met that 100% and then gave them a percentage in the deal, pay for their training, and then funded the operation, and then continue to be a partner in the deal strategically. Now, we don't work in it on a daily, weekly basis, but like, we just went out and found a property. Joey and I found a bigger property than normally. Normally, we were renting 1, 2, 3 bedroom houses or condos. We actually went and bought a 5 bedroom that we're going to turn into a 7 bedroom. We want to like make it a bigger like group event venue. And that was us, right? We're on the front end of that, helping pull all that stuff together, negotiating. We negotiated the mortgage on a subject to. All of that stuff is the ability that we can add to the company and allow him to do the day-to-day and operate the business.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. I mean, so with that, those are the pros to your model. There's also some alarm bells that go off in my head and saying, man, in order to bring somebody on, get them scaled up, get them trained, give them equity. And then what if it's that person's just not a good fit? Like, if you run into that, how do you navigate that on the front end to make sure that, man, you're not getting, you know, 9 months in and going, oh my gosh, we just made a terrible investment in this person?
Well, I think Joey could probably speak to one where we didn't follow what I just told you. We didn't do the culture index. We didn't know exactly what was needed in the business to operate. We assumed, like, we thought it was actually in the land flipping business. We thought that that was a more detail-oriented research-type business model, and the person that was going to be running it needed to have those traits over other traits. And what we found is that we put someone in there that was detail-oriented. We did know that, but what we found as the business model went on is that it was a more sales-oriented model. It actually required more people skills. This person had in the culture index world, had a low B trait, low interaction with people trait, very empathetic, very high details, which actually, unfortunately, sometimes makes someone a bad salesperson. Right. And when they're trying to buy property from somebody and sell a property to somebody and doing it all online, they need to have a high skill set. We learned that over about a 9 month period of time. It was a learning lesson, right? Like, there's either successes or there's lessons learned. We learned what not to do in that. And then we partnered up with a group who actually already had a lot of these things in place and just kind of pushed our model into it.
That's interesting. How do you guys navigate that once you've given equity, or is there a way to stagger the equity over a period of time such that somebody doesn't just walk in day one owning a share of the pie?
Well, in this particular learning opportunity, there wasn't really a whole lot to begin with in those first 9 months because the sales just weren't happening. Mm. And so there wasn't much to unravel there, if you will. But I think to your point, that is a strategic thing that you should be thinking about in a model like this is not to give away the farm before it's a proven, you know, the operator kind of has to make sure that they're the best fit. And so I think to have some sort of a preliminary trial period or, you know, kind of like earn your equity through proven results, that would be much, much preferable.
And I think what we've done with that too is we've said, okay, if this is going to be a 30% partner in the deal, let's pay them a 30% distribution before actually giving 30% in the business, right? So we've made them an equity partner from a distribution standpoint, but not put their name on, you know, in the corporation necessarily from the very beginning. And that gives you a little leeway, right? So you don't have to worry about, you know, divorcing someone before you know that you really want to be married to them. And I think that's a mistake a lot of people make in partnerships, right? They don't go through the dating phase. They get excited. They go out and find somebody. They immediately partner up. And it's like, okay, treat all partnerships the same way you did your marriage, at least for most of us, right? Like you're going to spend an extended amount of time dating the person, understanding who they are before you make that commitment. And I think you should do the same thing in business. You should understand who they are. And because it's the same thing, you know, partnerships are like marriage, just take out the sex.
Exactly. That's really intriguing. I'm curious, when investing in real estate, one of the things that, you know, we love about it is that when you can increase the NOI, when you can decrease expenses, you kind of get the double whammy, you know, equity multiple valuation on the back end. It's like, oh, okay, you know what, we're bought at an 8 cap. We made both of those improvements and now we can sell at a 6 cap. We just made a ton of money. Right? You guys are more taking that play, but then building it around an entire business. So I guess what's the exit strategy to just continue to operate that business in perpetuity? And then if that's the case, how do you handle the finances side with all of your investors coming in? Is it a fund model? Is it where you invest in one fund and they own, you know, 10 different businesses? Or what does that look like?
Well, so to date, Russ and I have been doing all this 100% on our own. And so there's not a fund model. This is just literally taking the capital that we've been able to build over the last really 10 years that we have been implementing our own processes, which we walk people through how they can start to gather their own capital. And we've deployed it personally. So from that standpoint, that's how we've handled that. But the second thing that you mentioned is the goal is so important, right? And this is important if you're trying to meet up with an operator, to your point. What is their strategy and does it align with yours? In our case, the thing that has been the anchor for us is, man, financial freedom is perpetual passive income coming in that exceeds our monthly expenses. Right. Well, if we've been able to build these businesses in such a way that they are sustainable and that the environment or the climate that we're in is, you know, agreeable to this ongoing, why would we ever unplug this money machine? That's the kind of the way we think about it is we want to maintain that financial security and that financial freedom. And so all of these are with that in mind. We are, all that being said, we are also prepared if something were to happen in a specific space that we've diversified into multiple other streams that we can just pivot and we can go into a different route. And that's one of the things that our Passive Income Mastermind really does for people is it gives them available opportunities that are much greater than maybe just this one that they've made most of their money in so that they can be prepared to pivot if need be and not give up, you know, the financial freedom that they've been enjoying.
That's really intriguing. So you guys are taking no outside investors into your investments. Is that right?
To date, we have not. So the latest deal that Joey and I started is most likely going to bring in some investors. But to this point, we've been self-funded. To be honest, like we have built up capital, as Joey said. One of the things that we got known for early on in the industry is that we were kind of experts in this concept of infinite banking, which is the stacking of cash. And we have stacked cash for 10 to 15 years and we've deployed it in different places. But be honest, like we've had large access to cash. We've built great relationships with banks and we've really not needed to bring on outside investors. Cause like you said, we took businesses and we just started scaling at it as it happened. And then the cash flow of the business was helping us continue to scale. So we went from 0 units in the short-term rental space to 25 in a matter of like 14 months. And, you know, allowing the cash flows of the business as we got on the upper end of that to help us. And we just had the capital. We were just borrowing against our systems to give us the access that we need. And that was freedom. Not everybody gets there, right? Not everybody's in a position of liquidity the way that we were. But as Joey's point is, our job is to, we think first in our, from our podcast, is to equip people with the knowledge of how to do it, right? Like, doesn't mean you always have to, but I like the concept of knowing how to do it and knowing what's going on. I love the fact that you have a podcast that you're educating your investors on what's really happening so that they can feel involved. The average person investing on Wall Street, and this reason our name is Wealth Without Wall Street, is that we believe that that's the easy button that's been given to people to really dumb them down, to confuse them on what's happening so that they're so far away from the investment, they don't even know. So they don't even know what to expect, right?
Not only not what to expect, but they have no control over it or any say in it whatsoever. That's really, really fascinating. Joey and Russ, thanks for coming on the show. This was lots of fun. I really enjoyed learning about what you guys are doing. I think it's absolutely fantastic. You have a unique business model. I mean, I think in the 400, whenever this goes live, this would probably be 450-ish number episodes. I haven't interviewed anybody yet that really has your spin on real estate investing and then taking the time to, of course, you know, form a mastermind, educate investors, and yet not need their equity. That's completely unique. I mean, most of the time we educate investors so that, you know, eventually they probably end up investing with us. So I think that's absolutely fantastic. One question I always ask our guests is, when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Well, one of the things that we're working after right now, and there's many things on this front, but one of the latest investments that we're making was intentional because we know that COVID has been a real issue over the last 2 years. And we've seen people, especially men, that have been disengaged from each other. And we've decided that we wanted to create a larger space, short-term rental space, that would bring groups together, specifically families and masterminds and corporations, so that people can get in community. We're not meant to be isolated. I think the world has created over the last couple of years a really isolated scenario. And for us, we want to bring people together. So that was intentional in us buying this property so that we can start bringing people together, start seeing people enjoy being face-to-face and having a good time.
Another thing I would mention is, so Russ and I both believe that God's given us the opportunity to give sacrificially, financially to various different ministries across the world. And we have a real heart for that. So part of our passive income strategy is to constantly be able to increase that, to give more and more. And then the second thing that we've done recently, I feel like is probably something we're going to really be excited about in 10 years, is we've started every week meeting with our own daughters who are 16 and 13 or 15 and 13, and having a financial education, like teaching them what we are teaching others who are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, who wish they had learned it when they were in their teens or young 20s. And so now helping our daughters to create passive income streams, those are things that I feel like, one, obviously they're helping our own family, but that's going to help the world as well, as if these girls continue to be abundant minded and be able to create freedom on their own terms.
That's fantastic. I love that. Joey and Russ, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, learn more about you, your book, your mastermind, any of those things, what is the best way to do that?
We have one place to go because we decided, you know what, we're done with the cat memes and the political jargon everywhere. So we created our own app, and you can join us there at wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/passport. That's like the first step in our process. You get access to a free course, access to a free community. And that's where we post all of our information on the Passive Income Mastermind, any other opportunity to meet with other people along the same path as you, trying to grow and build financial freedom. Hit us up on the DM function once you download the app and just let us know you heard us on the show. We'd love to connect with you there.
Awesome. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
It's our pleasure.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.